Check, check.
Check, check on the microphone.
Wrestle Radio Australia is a proud member of the FNX Network. You can find this show and many more at fnx.network. That's the new URL, fnx.network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the voice of Explosive Pro Wrestling, Mean Dean Olsen, and you're listening to Australia's wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is it, Andy!
My God, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen a
This is Brian Alvarez.
Oh, my God!
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
The queen, yeah. The queen of the prop.
Hey, this is Rocky Monero.
And there is no one that does it better.
This is five times the world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Ryan Adam Pearce.
Hey, this is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
You are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to the show, folks. My name is Josh Armour. Take two on this one here. And thank you very much for downloading the show. Of course, we are on fnx.network, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, all about the place. If you haven't yet, please subscribe. And when you're done with this episode and you enjoy it, maybe check out some of the older content that we have there on the feed. Follow us on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU while you're listening and give us your thoughts on today's show. We'd really appreciate that. Today, EPW original, member of The Solution, host of the best podcast to come down the pipe since WRA, on The Fringe podcast, The Messiah, Davis Storm. He is here to talk about, well, I guess all things pro wrestling, EPW, and of course, on The Fringe. We're going to be getting into a bit of podcasting talk, I think. So that's going to be fun for me. So I'm going to enjoy that. Plus, a very special treat, but I'll let you know what that's all about in just a sec. So first, I want to send a huge congrats to KC Cassidy on getting signed by WWE. I thought something was happening there sort of last year after the tryouts happened and the well-publicized camp, I guess, happened in Australia. She was, I noticed on Twitter she's heading over to the States, and I thought, okay, there's something happening here. Maybe something came of that, and sure enough, it did. So, hey, another Lance Storm graduate from Australia getting signed by the E, and it's just, yeah, great for KC. I hope big things come of it. So, hey, big thing already has, but you know what I mean, even bigger. So, good on you, KC. All the best, and MC Dub's going to miss you, I know that much, but hopefully the world will get to see what you're all about now. And also to everyone who worked the OCW Super Show in Victoria last night, from all reports, it was a hell of a show. A lot of the Australian talent as well, from what I'm hearing, really impressed those who were, you know, just out to see the ex-WWE stars. And a lot of people talking about folks like your Brad Smythes and all that sort of thing, so very, very cool. New OCW champ Drew Galloway, who defended the Evolve title and the IC Dub belt. He's also got the Outback Championship Wrestling title now. And I think he's renamed it the Australian Heavyweight Championship. I saw some fan cam footage just a moment ago. So I don't know what the deal is with that exactly. We'll keep you posted on that. And he's going to be taking the belt around the world. So there was about, I think, 700 or 800 people, it's reported, in attendance. And next week, or later, I guess we're recording Sunday now, so later this week, I'll be catching up with Brad Smythe, who actually wrestled Ricardo Rodriguez on that show. So that's going to be cool to hear about that experience. And also OCW announcer Baz Abzed, and he's a great guy. He's been ring announcing not just pro wrestling, but, you know, also pro wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, and actually a radio presenter as well. So it's going to be cool to just talk about a lot of different stuff with Baz later in the week. So check those ones out. And I'll be on Pro Wrestling Nation this week as well with my buddy Funky Sam Medina from California. We're going to be previewing WrestleMania and, yeah, just having a good chat there. So check that out. I'll pop the link up on our Twitter and Facebook when it's ready to go. Now, a couple of days ago, Todd Eastman, yes, the Beast is back. He got on the old Skype machine and caught up with two of our favourite people here at WRA, and two of the most fun people in wrestling, Josh Shooter and Tony Storm. And they're over in the UK at the moment, wrestling training and just being crazy as they do. So before we get to chatting with David Storm, here is Todd Eastman with The Axe and Tony Storm. Enjoy.
I'm joined here at the moment by, well, two people. One on the phone right now is Tony Storm, and you've been over in the UK training and working for how long now? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Hi, I've been in the UK for like 4 months now, and it's really awesome.
So have you just been like just working shows, or have you been training as well, or has there been one specific promotion you're working with? Or,
well, I train a lot. I train with Dean Allmark. And I train for, like, just different promotions and different people around the country. But I mainly work, and I wrestle two or three times a week. And I'm not training so much now because...
You're working so much, I guess.
I'm working so much. But, yeah, I've been doing it for 4 months now, and it's, yeah.
It's yeah. How have you found the British style of wrestling as opposed to what you've been used to over here, say what?
I really like the British style. I mean, especially working shows like All Star Wrestling, they're very British, and I wrestle for them a lot, for Brian Dixon. And especially learning from Dean Allmark, he's got a very British style, and I really love it. It's very different to, you know, American and Australian type of styles. But yeah, I love the British scene, the British style, and obviously that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Are there any promotions over there that do the old World of Sports sort of rounds, or is it just all straight?
Yeah, Premier Wrestling.
As Josh said, Premier Wrestling.
Hi, Josh.
I've seen a few matches like that. I went to a show in Wales, North Wales, and they did that kind of stuff with some. They brought out some old legends and did that. And like All Stars, a little bit like that. They'll sometimes do those kinds of old school matches.
Mm. So how much longer are you over there for? Are you gonna stay there, or what's the deal?
Well, to be honest, I don't even know. Like, I mean, I'm gonna stay here as long as I can, and I've got a British passport, so I can stay here as long as I want. But eventually, I'm gonna have to come back and go to uni. You know, that education cobblers.
Damn that.
Yeah, damn education. Who needs that? Who needs books and things?
When you can kick.
Yes.
Wow, that was too evil a laugh for that.
Yeah.
Are you there, Josh?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
You are there.
I'm always here with you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
We're here in spirit.
Thanks, brother. Every time I get a burger, you're there.
Thank you.
Wanting the second one.
Whenever you finish it and you don't share it, I'm there.
Now, you've been training yourself over there. You've just gone over not too long ago.
Yeah, I trained with John Moss, who is a graduate of the Hammerlock School, NWA Hammerlock. And
that dude is still ripped.
And Zack Sabre Jr. and all those names came out of that as well. And it was just eye-opening. And I did a week private training with him up in Whitehaven's Cumbria, which is towards the top of England, I think. And yes. Then I came down to
yes,
Progress's dojo, which is called the Projo. And I've been training with Daryl Allen and Jimmy Havoc for the last 3 weeks anyway. And it's just a different insight. And when Storm means the British style, it's a lot more map-based. It's a whole lot less bumps that aren't needed so you can have a longer career in. You don't have to take as many bumps off your bump card, so you don't wake up as sore the next day. You still do, but not as sore.
Not as sore. So you've learnt the whole, the more rolling, if you will, by using sort of a...
I've learnt so many cool, weird pins into submissions, into reversals, into transitional holds, into stuff I don't even need to know because I'm a big guy and I'm just going to punch people when I come back home anyway. So, hey, at least I've got a whole bunch of cool moves I can put into my arsenal.
So how solidly have you been working over there?
Pardon?
How solidly have you been working, like, date-wise?
I'll usually have a booking or two a weekend, except for last weekend, which I had off, so I made sure I checked out a couple shows and I ended up getting on one. By just rocking up with my gear, shaking hands and everything else, and then something usually works out where, hey, we've got a spot open. which is good because last weekend I was in the IPW Rumble and I was with Jimmy Havoc, which I'm a huge fan of his work and Eugene, and we beat up Grado.
You mark.
I'm just dropping names. Sorry, Todd, can you just pick up all those names I'm dropping?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I saw them.
Cool. Did you pick up the name like Zack Sabre Jr. I dropped at the very start?
You threw that. You didn't so much drop it.
Yeah, cool. Did you catch it?
Yeah, I caught it. It's there.
Cool. Just make sure you can carry it.
Yeah, no.
If not, he'll carry you.
I got you.
All right, cool.
Dick. so you're heading over to Japan soon. Where are you going to be going there? Back to BJ Dub or somewhere else?
Yeah, back to Big Japan, but it's with a twist this time as I'm speaking to a sub-promotion from DDT Pro and a few others at the moment, and even something big in the works, but I can't say anything because it's not confirmed, and if I say it, it's just going to jinx me and nothing will work out. So I'm hoping something works out where, hey, I can get signed somewhere in the world so I don't have to go back to doing a real job and I can just wrestle and get paid for it somehow and sell t-shirts as I always do and make more money and buy food.
And buy food. So with have you left the Hardway Inc. now or are you still with them or is it what's the deal going with there?
The way I look at it is they're doing their thing at MCW. I've dominated OCW where they've got the names coming in every month. They've got a variety of rosters that have people from every fed in Melbourne, and they're starting to get some of the RCW boys like Grimm and Brad Smart over. So I'm starting to be the big fish in that little pond down there, and they're doing their own thing at MCW, and they're slowly dominating what's going on down there. But sooner or later, I'm going to come back to MCW, and I'm going to cause a riot.
Sick. So how long have you got left in England? How long have you got left in England?
I'm in England for a total of 7 weeks and 7 weeks in Japan, so 3 months outside Australia. But fun fact, I've already got my flights booked to leave Australia at the end of August.
Well, where are you going to then?
I can't say yet. But
it's a secret that I will just say and then not say what it is.
Well, are you going to edit it out?
Well, probably not, so don't say it.
Well, yeah.
So don't say it.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to do as much as I can to get as much exposure, whether it's get on any and every podcast I can or get in every magazine, and I'm currently in the middle of speaking to the Tag Rope, which is a new magazine.
And I'm already in a centerfold,
and gosh. I was transitioning my way into mentioning that.
Yeah, that's right, I've already been into a magazine.
Shut up.
A centerfold. I'm official material.
That's it.
Yeah.
Every male probably already knows this, as it's probably hanging in like the bedroom wall, garage wall, the dojo wall.
All over the world.
But Tony Storm is like the Fighting Spirit magazine centerfold girl and everything else. Like, yeah. Good on her. But yeah, I'm just trying to get as much exposure as I can and travel and be seen, and hopefully someone will pay for me to wrestle every day forever for some stupid reason.
I don't believe they will.
Oh, encouragement.
It's my moral support team.
Yeah, isn't it, though? You have to have morals for that, though.
Yeah, I don't.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us over there.
Hold on.
Well, I've forgotten now.
Everything first. I'm selling gauntlets, and they're at $10 each, or £5 if you're currently listening to this and you're based in England. I'm going to have new shirts released at the end of the year, and Tony Storm will also, and it's the My Little Tony edition shirts.
Did you say the end of the year?
Middle of the year, mate.
You went at the end of the year. I'm like, dude, it's not much.
I'm the one talking.
Oh, Jesus.
I said middle of the year. I have wristbands. I've had a photo shoot recently in the last few days, and I'm going to have 8x10s released in the next few months.
Completely naked.
Not completely naked. And my Twitter handle is at Joshua Shooter. My Instagram handle is HardwayInc_Josh_Shooter. I have a Facebook page. You should search up Josh Shooter, and Tony Storm's Twitter handle is what? At Tony Storm? At Tony Storm underscore, and it's the same thing for Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, mm-hmm. Maybe. Yes.
You know this, Josh. You stalk me off.
Fuck off, mate.
See, this is what happens when you don't let me lead you into it.
I need that blue tick of verification so Pro Wrestling Tees can sell my stuff and I can make money.
Don't you need like a certain amount of followers before you can do that? Or do you just need to
be verified by a publicly traded company?
Well, you need to be that as well.
You need to be a trained wrestler to do that. I'm sorry.
Wow.
You need a minimum 2,500 followers in to be verified by a publicly traded company to have that blue tick and for pro wrestling teams to be following you. I've done my research.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And we'll definitely be following your adventures by Facebook, I guess, and Instagram and every other thing you just put out.
Twitter. Yeah, the Insta gimmick and the Twitter handlers and the book face and all those social media websites where creeps in their basement look us up.
Nothing I enjoy better.
Yeah. Tell Josh he owes me Subway, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's the longest running gag.
It's been solid 2 years, mate.
I know.
I'm going to have to, like, get interest here in the form of 3 cookies.
And if people want to buy Tony's socks, where can they go?
Send her a message at TonyStorm_ on her Twitter handle.
And Josh loses them.
And if people... I'm going to sell them on eBay later on. That's why.
What are you doing? My socks are missing because of you.
Yeah, and I'm selling her socks. So, Travis Banks, if you would like Tony Storm socks or Cremator or anyone else in the Australian wrestling scene, please send me a message and I'll sell them at mates rates. Feel free to also send Tony Storm donuts or send me pizza, as we shall be a tag team called Sweet and Savory. How's that? Yeah? Because we both like eating food. It writes itself.
It really does.
All right. You need to make this happen, Booker Man.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Good. Take your word.
All right. Okay.
Peace.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me. See ya.
Song and I won't.
Chew the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, ShootTheDefence.com and the FNX Network, and let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at Shoot the Defence.
Hammer time. Get up. Alrighty. We are back and here to talk pro wrestling, of course, here to talk EPW Perth and the awesome On the Fringe podcast, which has been kicking around for 2 or 3 months now. Some awesome interviews there. I highly recommend you check that out. Davis Storm, how are you, Dave? I guess we'll call you Dave today.
Most people call me Dave, so yeah, no, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of one cool thing with the show is that you're you present what you do in the way that it is an art form, you know, like, let's be honest, like, we, you know, we all play a character out there, and that's a really cool thing about your show is that it sort of, it strips down all that, pretty much everything, you know, whether it's wrestling or people that are involved in comedy or whatever the field of entertainment art is, and sort of really getting to the crux of, like, all right, what's behind what you do. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's it. I find it more interesting to tap into people's life stories rather than necessarily their life in front of the cameras. The people that I'm interviewing, we're not huge wrestling stars. We're not huge comedy stars. So trying to understand what their story is, I think there's more depth in that.
The one that really got, I guess, everybody talking about on the fringe, or at least within our sort of, you know, circle in Australian wrestling, and then and it got other people onto it, was the chat you had with Adam Gambino, with Mr. Juicy. That was just really something else. You know, we've all heard, if we're familiar with Mr. Juicy, we've heard him on the BAM podcast and we've seen what he does, but that was just a completely different side to Adam. And I was just sitting there listening to it like, wow, like you then learn like what has gotten this person to where they are and all the things that they've gone through. I mean, I remember when Adam was starting out in wrestling, and I'll be brutally honest, he was not that good in the ring. He was not that good at all. And then to see the way that he's come along now to not only being, I guess, as I sort of found listening to your chat, happy within himself, but as much as he could, you know, always sort of criticizing himself and being critical of himself. No, life is not a rib on you, Adam. You're brilliant. Just deal with it. You're awesome. You know, just like things like that. It was really something else. And the recent one with Damien Slater too. Very cool.
Yeah, as I said, you know, there are a lot of podcasts around, and I think people understand the basic story of these guys, so that we go through training and then we progress to shows, we potentially go overseas to gain experience, and then we come back to Australia. I think a lot of Australian wrestling stories sound very similar, but to tap into their life and understand the motivation of why they do what they do, that's probably a little more interesting. For me, I'm a huge fan of Mark Maron's podcast. And I found that some of the ones that I was drawn to were actually people who I didn't know their background, I didn't know who they were. And to hear them come out and just explain their life story and what it is about their personality that has led them down the path that they go, that's the more interesting thing to me. And having been involved in wrestling for such a long time, you meet a lot of different personalities and you see different motivations for what people do. So although we follow a very similar path, there's often different motivations for why we do the things we do.
I know you we were chatting on Messenger a couple of days ago, and I was saying, like, sort of, how are you going with the podcasting? And obviously, editing is the first sort of hurdle that a lot of podcasters have to get over, whether it's just learning their way around their software or learning their way around, okay, what's going to make my show sound? How am I going to get the show sounding the way I want it? There's a lot of those sort of hurdles. But how have you found it in general as far as, like, the medium? And because, I mean, I love it. I love podcasting, but then there's some weeks where you go, oh, geez, can I really be bothered putting a show out? Like, there honestly are weeks like that, and then once you do put it out, you go, like, nah, that was well worth it, because there's great content there. Like,
definitely. I'm sure you understand that there are weeks where maybe the numbers are down or you don't feel like there's a lot of interest in whatever it's that you've done that week, and it definitely makes it harder to get up for the challenge, but... For me, probably the most rewarding thing has been the actual conversations. So
yeah.
Slater and myself have a relationship going back a decade now, but I've never really sat down with him to chat about his childhood or where he came from or his family life. So although we're very close and I would consider him a brother, we didn't have a relationship where I'd been able to delve into those sorts of issues. So for me... getting to the having real conversation, and I've used the phrase before, bringing real conversation back, because I think too often in everyday life we have very superficial conversations, just a very brief hi, how are you? Everybody says yes, fine, and we tend not to talk about our problems like Gino did on the podcast. We tend not to talk about our background like Slater did on the podcast. So I think podcasting's a great way to have a more in-depth chat, to be able to sit down for 2 hours and be committed to the conversation, not be distracted by our phones, not be distracted by what's on the TV. For me, not being distracted by my two kids running around, to be able to just dedicate some time to actually listen and delve into someone's story, that's more interesting for me.
Maybe even the first episode that you actually did, where it was you and a couple of the guys from EPW, and you were just sitting there shooting the shit about how the company came about and how you guys started out. It was something completely different, because I guess you guys were sitting there just as mates, as people who have known each other for years. And I learned a hell of a lot about, not just about EPW in that chat, but about the Adelaide scene, you know, with you guys training at the Monster Factory here in Adelaide with Cole and all that. Yep. Jazz. Like, I learnt even more about the scene, and it was really, I recommend everyone check that one out first, especially if you want to learn about just about how this, I guess, generation kind of thing of pro wrestling came about in Australia, because that had a lot to do with it. If it wasn't for maybe the Monster Factory, you know, we may not even have the scene today, because we may not have the influence of the great talent that went through there. You know, it's
definitely there's a lot of, as you said, all the stories are kind of interconnected, and if we didn't have the relationship that we do with Jag and Cole and the Monster Factory and the guys over there, Rocky Bonero, then maybe EPW wouldn't have been influenced to become the company that it did. And I think, in turn, EPW has affected Australian wrestling in general a fair bit as well. So if Jag hadn't contacted us in the first place and asked if we wanted to go over to Adelaide to train, who knows, that wouldn't have just necessarily affected EPW, EPW Perth and Perth wrestling, but maybe also the Australian wrestling scene as well.
Yeah, there's guys that, you know, I mean, when EPW, when I started watching and attending Australian local shows, EPW was the first thing that I saw, EPW Adelaide. So when you had guys like Mikey Nichols come over from EPW Perth, for instance, I mean, EPW was such a big deal, just the name back then, even in Adelaide, because it was, that was, all, at least to me, because that's all I knew. And then found out about Wright City Wrestling, and then, oh, okay, then Snake Pit, and then, okay, then Melbourne City, and then EPW Perth. It was all, like, it all sort of followed on for me from there. But there was a big influence. And I remember the EPW shows down here where, you know, you guys like Mikey, Shane would pop over, and there'd, you know, be 300-400 people packed into the Cosgrove Hall at Clare Valley Park, and just the bloody noise that those folks would make. And I imagine around that, even now I've been watching the recap videos, and it's still there's still a great atmosphere over in Perth, but I imagine back then it was sort of there was that, I guess, that fire lit amongst not only the wrestlers but also the fans, that hey, we've got wrestling, we've got great wrestling here, like let's get behind it, sort of thing.
There was no hotter period of wrestling for us here in Perth than probably those first 2 or 3 years, where you, like you said, you are going on this journey, not just with the company and not just with the other guys and girls that are attached to the product, but also with the fans who want to be a part of something. We came along at a time where ECW was had just about folded. And I think wrestling fans, especially hardcore wrestling fans, they wanted a product that they could attach themselves to, and they wanted to also define themselves by the wrestling that they were surrounded by. And if not for that support, then I'm not sure EPW would have survived. Like, we came along at a time where there hadn't been local wrestling in Perth for probably close to 2 decades, and we had to build from the ground up. And a lot of that support from the fans was what helped define us as a company, and also helped get us through those early periods, because the fans that we have had from the beginning are just absolutely mental for the product. So they supported us with t-shirts, mugs, whatever we released, DVDs, videos. They just supported us on every single level, helped spread the word. And it was the same when we started in Adelaide as well. Our guys felt like we were breaking ground by going over there. It was one of the first times that a company name had sort of crossed borders, and we were really excited about seeing it develop. And I think the same thing, fans, people who had known EPW Perth were really excited to see EPW Adelaide come to town and see what we could do differently, what we did that was different from the other guys who were already putting on shows in Adelaide.
And I don't know about you, but I think that it's, the fans are underappreciated amongst some wrestlers and amongst some folks. I mean, we put it this way, we all appreciate the fact that the fans come out, especially the regulars that come out every month to see our shows, to see what we do. They follow the storylines, they know the characters, they live and die on every single breath, every single move that happens during a show. But there's some folks that I think that, you know, they see the fans, they go out there, they cheer for them, they get their pop, they get their signs made or whatever, and then they go home, and that there's obviously a disconnect once the show finishes. But I think that sometimes the fans are underappreciated a little bit. And I mean, there's nothing that I love more than seeing those same folks out there in the crowd every month, every show, like, because it's so flattering, the fact that, you know, I come out there as the ring announcer, and, you know, the people are chanting like, where's my podcast, and, you know, like you know, if Todd grabs the mic, you know, we want armor, like all this, and that's like, holy shit, I'm just the ring announcer, you know what I mean? Like, it's but I sometimes think that we, even outside of wrestling, we're sitting there day to day, we have to sit there and sort of think about that person that's buying a ticket to every show, or has bought someone's t-shirt, and go like, shit, that person is really cool, because without them and their support, you know, it's it all die in the ass without the fans, let's be honest.
I think the fans sometimes get a bad rap, in that I've had countless wrestlers walk back through the curtain and how to go, man? Shit crowd. Well, maybe you need to put your bullshit aside sometimes, put your ego aside and give the fans what they want instead of necessarily forcing what you want to do down their throats. And I find most crowds are willing to come along for the journey, but they also understand what they want. You've got to find a balance between educating them and giving them what you want to give them, what inspires you as a wrestler, trying to bring them around to that way of thinking while not losing them completely and being so self-indulgent that you don't, you forget that the fans are a part of this show. This is such a unique performance art that when you go to the theater, I'm sure it's not considered common for someone to stand up and start yelling at one of the characters and trying to get them to interact with you. That's something unique that we have to wrestling, and I think to forget that is to definitely forget a part of the art, forget what it is that makes us unique and makes us different. And if you forget some of these nuances and you forget some of the subtle differences between us and other art forms, then I think we just start to look like two grown men in their undies pretending to fight. So audience participation is such a huge thing. And on the podcast that you were talking about, the Reawakening Roundtable, I made a plea to the EPW fans that they needed to come along as motivated that night as we were going to, because that night is special to us, but I think it's also special to the fans. And when they come and from word go, you just feel the difference in the audience and you feel how motivated they are. It sets a tone backstage where the guys, instead of going out there and being too scared to go for the reaction, too scared to go that extra yard, they're suddenly going out there on this adrenaline rush before the bell's even rung. They're willing to go that extra step and they're ready to give the fans their all because they know that the fans are willing to give back to them.
Yep. And talking about that fan interaction, I mean, that's why when, as an announcer with my intros, yeah, the intro to the actual show itself, I mean, I'll get the crowd involved maybe, let's see, one, two, three, maybe three or four times during that intro, because I want them so pumped and so hyped and so ready to rock and roll that by the time the first wrestler comes out there, like they're ready to see a show. They are hyped, they are pumped. And
in the same way that you're saying fans are underappreciated, I think ring announcers are underappreciated as well, because you don't tend to notice the ring announcer doing their job properly, but I've seen bad ring announcers absolutely flatten the crowd out. Mm-hmm. And it's a really important job. If the ring announcer can go the extra yard and actually get the fans involved, then that's fantastic. But first and foremost, I've seen some really bad ring announcers absolutely kill a crowd. So just understanding the work well enough to be able to at least not interfere at the very least, but to even add a layer by encouraging fan interaction is really important.
Obviously, there's been a lot of changes in the wrestling scene in Australia over your time.
Certainly.
What has been the, I guess, in the last 4 or 5 years, what's the biggest thing that you've seen as a positive, and what's the biggest negative that you've sort of seen around the place that you think, okay, maybe we could nip this in the bud, or maybe this could change to make things even better?
There are probably two main positives. One is that I'm seeing groups working together more. There's less boundaries, mm-hmm. both between states, but also within states as well. The walls that existed between groups and the boundaries that stop people from working together have started coming down. You guys have experienced that yourselves with Slater now coming over to RCW, and I know that some of the guys and girls have been going back to Wrestle Rampage as well. This, I think, helps. It helps the fans that they're going to get these new experiences, but it also helps the wrestlers as well to be exposed to different locker rooms and to different wrestlers. Maybe you see something on that show that influences you in a way, and you're then able to take that back to your home fed. I think having a home fed is important, especially in terms of development, but once you get to a certain level, I think it's really important to experience different locker rooms and different influences. And that's been a real positive in the last few years. And I've seen some guys from EPW who've definitely benefited from being able to work within WA, but outside of EPW's borders. That's also can work as a negative in that when the standard for getting onto a show is much lower, there are definitely people who will come from one show to another and they won't bring the same work ethic and they won't bring the same attitude, and that's really dangerous. So it's definitely a double-edged sword, but that's one of the big positives that I've seen in my time. And I think the other is seeing Australians doing well overseas. So you mentioned Cass earlier, who it was announced this week has a WWE contract. We've got Matt Silver holding a WWE NXT tag title over in the States. We've got Broderick over in Mexico doing awesome things over there as Australian Suicide. We got Mikey and Shane tearing it up in Japan. And we've also got some guys and girls who travel regularly and are doing well overseas as well. That's been really important in terms of reshaping the way that the young crop of guys and girls developing approach what they're doing here. For us guys, just getting wrestling off the ground in Perth was the goal, and putting on the absolute best shows and going out there and absolutely killing ourselves to try and create something that we would be proud of, that was the goal. I think it's really important now that guys and girls who are starting to learn to wrestle now, they see that if I work hard enough and I dedicate myself, wrestling as a living is not unattainable for me. It's something that with perseverance and being in the right place at the right time and willing to show a commitment that others aren't, that they're able to take it overseas and wrestle full-time for a living. And that's really important because they start to think about Australian wrestling as a platform to be able to launch themselves. And I think when you have that motivation there, it changes the way that guys and girls approach their wrestling, approach the way they market themselves, how they develop a character. And all these things, I think, are important to creating stars at a local level, which is something famously I had it impressed upon me when we started, that there's no such thing as a draw in Australian wrestling. But I also think there will never be a draw in Australian wrestling, provided that we always think that there never will be a draw in Australian wrestling. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that as long as you keep pushing the mantra that nobody could ever be a draw in Australian wrestling, then that's absolutely what you're going to get in return. Having a new crop of guys who are pushing themselves to try and achieve things overseas, they're pushing themselves to put on the best shows they can here, but they're also developing themselves in the gym. They're becoming better wrestlers. They're exposing themselves to as many different influences as they possibly can. I mean, you know, Josh Shute is a great example of this. He's traveled all over the country. He's got himself into fantastic shape, and he pushes his social media presence. He's somebody who actually is thinking about what he's doing and then approaching it in a way that he can try and develop himself and gather a following that catches the attention of promoters. I've always been somebody who subscribes to a team philosophy, but I think that by having a more single-minded approach in terms of how do I market myself and make myself valuable to the team, instead of just, I'm always going to rock up and do the right thing by the team, still do the right thing by the team, but how do I make myself the most valuable part of the team that I possibly can? I think that's a really important part of helping develop the Australian wrestling scene. Negatives? Too many feds, too many rings, and too many groups still who set the bar too low for themselves. And there are always going to be guys and girls who come along. They train at the right place to begin with. They start to develop themselves. They maybe get a match or two in one of the bigger feds. And then they see that they can drop their work rate and just go wrestle somewhere else where the bar is quite low. That's it's disappointing.
There is a bit of that, and unfortunately it sometimes happens with folks who you know have the potential in maybe a more successful environment, or maybe a more where there's a bit of a better work rate, you know, where there's a bit of a better philosophy, a bit of a better mindset, you know, as far as, okay, we're here to teach you to be the best that you can be. And when it comes showtime, you go out there and you put on the best show you can. Because, and I was talking about this with Corey Lockwood on the last episode we had, where, you know, you can go out there and you can just do your thing, say, I wrestled a wrestling match tonight and that's cool. But those people sometimes forget that Billy Bloggs in the third row may have spent his last $15 on a ticket to see you because he wanted to see some wrestling, and you're not giving him his money's worth. That's a big thing. But you see those folks who have the potential in the right environment, and then, you know, it's easy then for some folks to go off to another promotion or another booker or another trainer and say, hey, I was trained for 3 or 4 months by this guy and I worked on that show. And they'll sort of look at that and go, okay, well, he's got a good reputation. So yeah, we'll take you on. That's cool. But then, as you said, you know, just everything sort of drops. The quality tends to drop because I guess you're not influenced to be the best you can be. You know, it is really unfortunate. You know, I think if you can't, we've got enough great promotions, enough great trainers. I think that's the biggest thing, is that we've got so many great trainers out there that if you're not good enough to maybe make it in one wrestling school or in this top promotion, and by say top promotion, I mean, you know, we're all drawing 300-400 people, but I mean reputation wise, maybe wrestling's not for you. You know what I mean? There's some folks out there that just want to have that glory of saying, I'm a wrestler, and that's cool, that's fine. But when you're doing that and you're sacrificing the enjoyment of the paying customer, I think that is a big problem.
It comes down to having a bit of self-respect for me, that you have enough self-awareness to realize whether or not this is for you. And I don't think that any art is so difficult that someone can't necessarily master it, but there are definitely things that you, in your life, you are perhaps more easily able to adapt to. And of course, because of that, you're then possibly able to have more success in that field. Things will come a little bit easier to you than they... As somebody who's fairly physically adept, I played a lot of sport when I was a kid. The physical part of wrestling came to me quite easily, but I know guys who it didn't come easily to them, or they weren't sport-minded, and they've become fantastic wrestlers, probably even a lot better than I am. So having the awareness, but also having the work ethic, if you aren't good enough, to be able to push yourself to be good enough, to put in the time and the effort to actually develop yourself to a point where you are worth giving a damn about and you are worth seeing on a show, it's not always present in people, unfortunately. And so long as there are people who want to make a dollar off of training by offering people shitty training and not actually giving them the knowledge and pushing them hard enough and drawing the kind of lines in the sand that I was given when I trained with Cole at the Monster Factory. Cole was so strict on our basics and making those absolutely perfect. 99% wasn't good enough. It needed to be 100. And
there's nothing worse than a lazy headlock. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Because that's the most basic thing. And if that's going to be you, if you're going to lock up headlock, you want that headlock on there good. You don't want daylight between there. You want that looking nice and tight, so that then when that guy pushes you off, you know, like it's a big thing, you know. It's, you got to set that tone even.
We have such a hard time earning respect from the layman that when you get the basics wrong, you leave us absolutely wide open to criticism. Mm-hmm. The second that we remind people that it's a work, we're not doing our job. So it's really important that we do get these basics right. We do make things look as spectacular, but as real as possible within the realms of the rules of professional wrestling.
Yeah, give me shit all you like here, folks, but I'm a big 90210 fan. Not the remake, the original, right? But one thing that absolutely shits me is that every episode, almost every episode, there'll be a booming shot. And I was like, booming shot. And it's something like that. It's like the booming shot, basically, you know, when you're lazy on that headlock or whatnot. It can take people out of it, you know, and that's just the last thing you want to do.
Absolutely.
So, totally. And let's talk about EPW. You got a show coming up. April 11th is the next main show at the Cyril Jackson Rec Centre. Main event there is going to be Alex Kingston, the champ, taking on our boy from Adelaide, Damien Slater. But you also do the house shows, the smaller, I guess, sort of gym shows at EP Dub. And I guess that's those house shows that we're seeing a lot more now. RC Dub has them. Let's see, PCW in Melbourne, they have them as well.
Yeah.
And it's an environment like that is really cool because people, especially younger folks, can go out there, they can try stuff in the ring, they can experiment, you know, especially if it's a real family crowd, they can go a bit silly, try some comedy, get different things out of their characters that they may not have found before or may not have tried. They can happen by accident. How are the house shows going over there in Perth? And are you finding that it's really helping that younger talent just discover themselves before they hit that bigger crowd?
I've always thought that they were a great tool. We used them since fairly early on. I think we probably had our first ones in 2003, and that was definitely because we felt like our main shows should not be the place for guys to work out the kinks. And we were definitely always aware of the fact that we didn't want these in-house shows to be people's first exposure to wrestling, which is why we introduced the membership system. It was a way of giving our hardcore fans the little bit of extra wrestling that they wanted, while ensuring that this wasn't somebody's first trip to see local mm-hmm. professional wrestling. We didn't want somebody walking in for the first time into a small garage in industrial suburb A and thinking that this is what Australian wrestling was, because I'm sure that while they would be impressed by the actual in-ring, it doesn't provide the atmosphere that you're hoping to give someone when you charge them $20 to come and see a show. We've always been really aware of that, but at the same time, trying to use them in a way that the younger guys can go out there and be led through matches by more experienced guys who can work on smaller details that you probably can't get in a training environment. So you go to training, you do your breakfalls, you run your ropes, you learn all the physical basics as best you can. But at some point, you need to be able to take those things in front of an audience and test them. And also try and develop your character, which is something we've been, as our guys have started to come from training and onto the shows, it's something we've started to focus on more and more over the years, rather than just introducing everyone as just generic guy A in black tights and black boots, actually trying to give the guys a little bit of character when they come through, and then using these house shows as a chance for them to try and test some ideas and see what sticks and what doesn't.
Yeah, with Riot City, like down here, their house shows, it's not so much a members thing, but we've found that it's always our diehard fans, you know, yep. that always sort of come there. So even if it's usually that 50 to 80 sort of crowd in the academy there, but it is those hardcore fans that, like, they love Riot City, they love the wrestlers, they love the personalities, and it's their thing, you know. And that's one thing that is really cool when the fans, talking about the fans again, is that when they take ownership of the promotion, all of a sudden that is their fed. And that's why those house shows, like, yeah, they're a great environment. The fact that it's, you know, after a show, I don't know about EP Dub, but down here at least, after a show you can interact a lot more with the fans, you know. There's not so much of that behind the rail, you know, we're behind the rail and you guys are over there. It's it brings in that real family sort of feeling, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you definitely want them to feel like they're a part of it. And just going back to what you were saying, I think that's just, it's something that's lacking in society in general, is just people want community. And whether it's people who latch onto the local footy team that they play for and they want to be involved in every aspect, they help organize, maybe they train juniors or whatever. I think it's the same thing for wrestling fans, people who don't feel a connection to footy or soccer or whatever. They feel this connection towards wrestling and they want to be as involved as they possibly can be. And I think rather than just look at it as being a tool to promote yourself, you need to try and make these people feel included, make them feel like part of the team, because as we've already discussed, the fans are a part of what we do, and without them, there's almost no point in doing what we do. We might as well just stay at training and wrestle each other for an audience of one.
And speaking of being part of a team, nice segue here, The Solution. yourself, Richter, and Worship, you guys doing your thing and crossing over as well. Because I know, like, with Worship, he's wrestled a lot in Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance, and so The Solution have been over there as well. We've had Adam's sort of take on and Jared Slate talking about the relationship between the promotions. But how's things over there in SHWA? And how's The Solution sort of going, you think, as a faction, as an idea? And I guess 2015 be a big year for you, yeah?
Definitely. Going back to what you're saying before, that whether we prefer things to be loose or more honed and tight, EPW is more of a honed product. So we need to be razor sharp when we go there. The great thing about going to Schwa is that we can afford to be a little more loose with what we do, which means we can test the way that we want to approach it. And myself and Shippy have teamed there a couple of times now, and I think we're starting to find our groove as a team. We're able to be just that little bit more loose and sort of settle down to understand what it is that the crowd expect from us, and then also push back a little bit and make sure that they understand who we are and what we want to stand for. We've also got a new female member of our team, Amity Rowe, yes. And she's a part of the first class, all female class of trainees that have just graduated from the Dynamite Factory, and she's come along to join The Solution. So I'm really excited to see how she goes. The girls are having their debut match at the next show, which you mentioned, April 11th, Collision Course at Body Slam Central, Cyril Jackson Rec Center. And I'm really excited to see how they go. The other part of the team, Richter's a bit banged up at the moment, so he hasn't been wrestling, but I still see him, just his presence in general, is a really important part of the team. And it sounds silly and it sounds like a work for me to say it, but I feel more confident as a performer when I've got the big man standing out there with me. And I know that sounds a bit silly, but I have a lot of confidence in this team that we've put together, and the way that we interact with each other and the way we're all in sync with what it is that we want to present. I'm probably at my most confident as a performer these days when we are together as a team. And we were part of a match that in the middle of last year was voted match of the year by the wrestlers within EPW. So I think that's just a testament to, if we're put in the right situation with the right people, we can put on something special.
I know what you mean there about when you've got somebody else out there with you on your, you know, in, whether it's your faction or whatever, it does actually help confidence-wise. I remember when, and actually if you make a stuff up, it helps because they can dive in and save you. I remember once with Those With Heart, we had Eliza Sway, Andy Voodoo, Roy, Luke Santa Maria, Brad Smythe, Hammer out there. And so I was on the mic and I was saying blah, 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 and something about a match. The match next month for the title. Now, the match wasn't next month for the title. The match next month was, if you can beat him, then you get the title shot the month after, right? So luckily, Voodoo was the champ, and he's Andy Roy, and he's standing right next to me. And as soon as I've said that, he said, I've looked at him, and he's shot me this death stare, like, what the fuck did you do? And he's just grabbed the mic out of my hand, and then he's done the whole, nah, nah, nah. Better than that, so it was actually funny because he outsmarted the manager, like his own manager, which I thought was brilliant. Thought, like, you can have that one. But yeah, it definitely does help. It makes you feel, especially when the guy with you is much bigger.
Yeah.
But it does make you actually feel like 10 feet tall, you know, because it's easy to dive into that world, you know what I mean? When you got that gang mentality, especially. And those videos, I've mentioned it to Worship before, just quickly. Those Solution, or it started off as Worship TV and now The Solution TV, really cool stuff. It's so different.
Yeah, it's something we definitely embrace as being a part of the character and a part of the presentation. And that's absolutely a credit to Shippy and to Jared McGuckin. Banger photos for anybody out there looking for photos or video work to be done. Jado's just an awesome guy, and his vision and the way he likes to create his art kind of sinks in with what Shippy was trying to create when he started. And I mean, I it was never intended that I was going to be a part of this team with Shippy and that we were going to travel down the path we did with the solution. It just kind of came together, right place, right time. And what Shippy was producing and putting out there for Warship TV kind of spoke to me, not just as a wrestling character, but also as an individual. The dark way that he was trying to portray it and the things that he was saying, they resonated with me. And I thought, geez, I want to get in on this. So, you know, I don't think he gets enough credit for... He created this situation by himself. It wasn't something that the booking team were pushing for or clamoring for. This is something that he pushed on the side, which I think most people felt, provided that it's just something that's adding to his character rather than changing what's being presented by EPW, we'll just let him continue on his merry way because it seems to be getting a good following. And like I said, it of all people, it caught my eye as well. And I thought this is something that I definitely want to be a part of. And to then be able to do my own videos in the same vein with Jado for my matches with Carlo over in MCW, that was really satisfying to see that I'd taken on the mentality and the character that Shippy had formed, and to then be able to team up with Jado and do my own videos, that was really satisfying.
Yeah, Warship's one of those guys, Jay's one of those guys that, you know, I think if it'd be really cool if he was able to get over to the East Coast more and maybe some more promotions, more fans were able to see especially what he's about, because I think he's incredibly unique out there. And just what he does, the way he goes about things in the ring, you can tell that he's not only improved is the wrong word to use. I'd say he seems comfortable in there now, like really comfortable, as far as like, okay, this is me, this is what I'm doing, this is my character, and just sit tight, folks, because you're in for a treat. He's really, really cool in that regard. Actually, that's all right. One thing I forgot to mention a second ago, piggybacking off of talking about the ladies, is that like when we had spoke to Michelle K. Hasluck, geez, it was nearly a couple of years ago now, and she was talking about how these young girls were starting to come through, you know, the academy and starting to learn their thing. And I was actually waiting, like, okay, when are these girls going to debut? Because I've been looking forward to seeing it happen and all that sort of thing. And now they're actually out there. Like, it's really, really cool because it gives Michelle at least some people to wrestle now. It's fantastic.
I mean, Michelle came up the rough way. She was, we had plenty of female trainees over the years come and go that were just incorporated in with the males class, and like I said, they would come and they would go, and Michelle was the only one that actually stuck it out and saw it all the way through two shows with EPW, and she had a chance to wrestle some of the guys and was heavily involved in one of my favorite angles that I was a part of, which was the Genetically Superior team and the Forefathers. She was attached to GST at the time, and we did this flip where GST were the heel champions and we turned them babyface during the run, and they managed to get over really well. That was a really fantastic angle, one of the favorite ones that I'm part of, definitely one of the most enjoyable to be a part of. But Michelle did it rough because we learnt from the experience that we'd lost so many female trainees over the years, and that's why this new class has been separated, and the girls are now incorporating themselves into the guys' classes as well. But we wanted to make sure that the girls felt safe and comfortable before we did that. And full credit to Tyler Jacobs and Marcus Pitt, who have been responsible for the girls' class. They've done an amazing job, and I think the girls have developed into something that, once they start getting onto the shows, are going to be a great addition to the shows, and also something that EPW can be very proud of.
Talking about Marcus, how was your match with him the other night? Because I mean, I imagine for someone like you who's a smaller guy, and Marcus being just this freaking powerhouse, I mean, he's one of my favorite guys to watch, it must be pretty cool being in there going like, okay, anything that we need to do, I'm in safe, I'm not only in safe hands here, but I'm in there with a pro. Like,
he's definitely one of the best wrestlers I've ever stepped in the ring with, and considering the lineup of killers that we've had come out of Perth, and also some of the guys that I've been fortunate enough to wrestle from interstate and overseas. He's one of the best guys I've ever stepped in the ring with, and I think it's a little bit of a joke around EPW that over the years, I don't think, especially interstate, he's probably got the recognition that he absolutely deserves, because he, as far as wrestling goes, he is on par with everyone we've ever turned out of Explosive Pro Wrestling. So always very comfortable. Him and I had a had about a 6 or 7 month program back in 2011. And we just seem to have a natural chemistry together. I'm at my best when I'm in the ring with somebody who's bigger and stronger than I am. And yeah, I think we have a really good chemistry together. But for that particular match, if you're asked for my description, it was short and it was painful.
And if folks want to see that, they can see it on Vimeo, I guess, very, very soon. The entire show will be up there, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. A good show. I think we'll probably be putting up Hot Summer's Night first, which was the first show of the year. Damien Slater and Alex Kingston in the main event. So we'll probably be getting that up next. And I think we'll probably continue to go through releasing a new event attached to an older event, and we'll sell the two at a discounted price, or you can buy them individually for a little bit more. So I think Vimeo's a great way that a lot of Australian feds are now starting to put their stuff up, and people are able to purchase it, and I think that's fantastic. It's another potential revenue stream, and also getting other people in Australia, and indeed people around the world, wrestling fans around the world, to see that Australian wrestling is no joke.
Yeah, I know that like Melbourne City Wrestling, they've got it going, and just a great product they're putting out as well. And I mean, it was really cool when I put a thing out on Twitter and some about MCW, and somebody mentioned, oh yeah, Melbourne City Wrestling, rad. I couldn't make it to the show or something, and I said, well, hey, here's their Vimeo. You can watch the full show. You can, you know, it's fully produced, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, rad, I'm going to do that tonight. And I was like, awesome. Like, I mean, that's our job here, really, is to, you know, get people onto Aussie Wrestling that aren't aware of it, or check this or that out, and that was pretty cool, because at least, you know, with especially with MCW and EPW, you know that if somebody does go there and pay to watch the show or download the show, they're gonna get quality and they're gonna enjoy it. You know, I have no qualms about guaranteeing that the people are gonna enjoy it.
Definitely, I think both feds, there's a level of pride there that we're not gonna put out a poor product. We're gonna put out the very best that we possibly can.
And let's talk about Cyril Jackson Rec Center, April 11th. That's the next big show there. We've got Alex Kingston defending the title against Damien Slater. Now, what else do we have lined up for the card here that we can talk about?
Blair Brady, Allison Cruz, and Amity Rowe, which is the debuting class from EPW's first all-female training graduating class. So that's one to really look forward to. Something different that hasn't been seen on an EPW show before. The only time previously that we've seen girls square off in the ring is we had both Siren Munro and Casey Cassidy come over at times to wrestle Michelle, which was always fantastic. It was good to see something different. And the girls, I think, are always a surprise that I think most wrestling fans are pretty hardened, and I think they just expect a lower level of performance when the girls get in the ring. And I think they're always pleasantly surprised that there is a pretty high standard of female wrestling here in Australia. We've been very lucky over the years. As for the rest of the show, I'll be perfectly honest, I'm not too sure. I know we've got Sam Fantastic's open house party. Exactly what that is, I've got no idea. Sam Fantastic is a larger-than-life character, comes out, loves to dance, loves to get the crowd moving. But as to exactly what his open house party is, I'm not too sure. He's been a victim of the returning Bobby Marshall the last couple of shows, so I think he's just looking at getting out there and having a bit of fun again after Bob's put the kibosh on him the last couple of shows.
Hey, anyone named the plus-sized party animal, it can mean nothing but fun. Big fun.
Absolutely. So. I'm sure we'll see the new EPW Tag Team Champions McMassive in action as well. I think they'll be defending the tag titles, so another thing to look forward to. They've had a long chase for the tag titles, and I know that it means an awful lot to both guys to be representing EPW as the tag team champions, so...
Very cool. And folks can get their tickets at the door. And is there somewhere that they can actually pre-book tickets if they wish?
Yeah, just hit up our shell of a website, epwperth.com. We're working hard to get ourselves a decent... It's one of the areas that we were always so strong in. And our webmaster went off and had a child, and we've lost him to the real world now. Rick still comes to shows and is still a really valued part of the team after him and myself pretty much captained the ship together for about a decade. So he's someone whose opinion I really trust, and I still get him to come and give me feedback after the shows. But his role in a day-to-day capacity is just about non-existent these days. And he was the one that really pushed our web presence, did the videos, did the website, photos, always kept us looking as professional as absolutely possible. So we've missed his presence on that front, and the website's definitely suffered, but it's something we're trying to put a little bit of time and effort to in 2015.
I'm just having a look here also, Dave, that we can call 0409 373 937 for ticket information as well. So folks, if you're in Perth and you want to check out EPW, get on to that as well. Before we get out of here, Dave, I'm going to throw some quick fire questions at you. Some of your, well, I guess you can go multiple answers here. Favorite matches or real highlights that stand out in your time wrestling? If there's one that you go, all right, that's if that's all I did, I'll be happy. What's that sort of memory for you?
It's so hard looking back at the things you've done, because you hope that you continue to get better over the years, so your actual performance level continues to improve. So sometimes it's hard looking back at some of the things you've done and patting yourself on the back the way you would have when it actually took place. I suppose if there's something that I'm most proud of, it would probably be there was a six-man tag match when Nate Dooley and Jimmy Payne retired. I think that was about maybe 2009, perhaps, or 2008. And the farewell that those guys got, and just the emotion around the match, and being able to be in the ring with Tyler Jacobs, who is somebody that I came up with. We started out training together in Adelaide with Cole, is one of my best friends all the way back to high school. To be there with Jimmy Payne, who is my greatest rival, the guy who sort of everybody defined us by each other. It was Davis Storm and Jimmy Payne for those first 5 years. To be there for his send-off, and for Nate Dooley, who outside of the ring has been someone who I probably feel most connected to on my wrestling journey. We hit it off from the very beginning, similar thoughts on wrestling, and to be there with those guys, and Bobby Marshall, who I consider to be... He's the one wrestler who just... When I look back at everyone who came through EPW, I always thought to myself, if I worked as hard as that guy, I could probably be as good as that guy. That's how I looked at most guys who ever came through EPW. Bob was the first wrestler who I ever looked at and said, if he shows up and works as hard as he can, and I show up and work as hard as I can, I'm still not as good at that as that guy. He's such a hardworking guy. Whether he's out there for 2 minutes or for 15 minutes, you can guarantee that he'll come back absolutely ruined, absolutely wrecked, puts himself through physical misery on top of actually pushing himself so hard that his body can't keep up with what he wants it to do. Just an unbelievable work ethic. And also the other guy in that match was JT. And Jay and myself have been close for a number of years now. I've watched him. He came to us in Explosive Pro Wrestling a lot of years ago as a young, overweight kid, and has worked himself into, I think, the best wrestlers in Perth today. somebody that could travel to any part of Australia and I think could give you a quality opening match or could give you a quality main event. To go through that experience with those guys is something special that I definitely won't forget.
Very cool. Favorite WWF or WCW or ECW, I guess, favorite entrance theme from back in the day?
As a theme that is actually a song, probably Man in a Box by Alice in Chains. Absolutely love that song.
Yep.
In terms of a wrestling theme, I think it's really hard to go past the original DX theme. And over the years, the way they prostituted the DX name when they brought it back sours me on it a little bit. But for the... Yes, buddy. Oh, buddy, you can do that in a minute, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Kiss. I'll be done in a second, okay? Love you. Can you close the door for me on the way out? I'll come and grab you in a minute, okay? If you're going to sit in here, you have to be very quiet, okay? Yeah.
There's a run-in for you, folks.
He's actually wearing his Superman cape today as well, so he's dressed for the part.
It's not even cape rule yet. No, how about that?
No, he's getting in early.
He is.
But yeah, the original DX theme is probably the one that speaks to the most. When I hear that opening beat, it just makes the spine tingle a little bit.
There's something about that dirty bass line, that...
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. Awesome. Favorite, I guess, your after-show meal? Your favorite to pick out?
I won't say it's my favorite, but it's my most common, is a large double quarter pounder meal.
Nice. That was my go-to for a long time there, and then the bloating after the double quarter pounder, I wasn't too much of a fan of, so I bailed on that. But that was my go-to for ages. Are you a fan of pickles?
Not particularly. No, no. Ooh. I tend to get rid of the pickles, and then just depending on my mood, sometimes I leave the onions, sometimes I take them out.
I'm a big pickle. If you don't want your pickles, just chuck them this way. I know it's a fair distance, but just throw them my way.
I'll throw them. That's for sure.
I'll take your pickles. No worries. Favorite band? That sounded really. I'll take your pickles. Wow, jeez. Favorite band, Dave?
Oh goodness.
Besides the Dead White Males, check them out.
Absolutely.
SoundCloud.
Probably Something for Kate.
There you go. Yeah, I was a big fan of them back in my, I guess, my melancholic late teen years, you know, sort of.
Yeah, see, I've never grown out of those.
Just put on Deja Vu and just sit there and just lament.
Absolutely.
Just lament.
Yeah, no, the sense of loneliness that Paul Dempsey seems to tap into just resonates with me for some reason.
There's something about his sound. I don't know what it is, but it grabs you by the balls. It's really, really cool.
Definitely.
Very, very cool. Favorite film?
Ooh. Probably The Matrix. And I don't tend to go back and repeat movies all that often. But yeah, I love the... Thematically, I loved it. And then just when I was younger, I was a huge fan of action films as well. So... one that's probably stayed with me.
Alrighty, and finally, the dream match. So name us, tell us who's in the match, the stipulation, the venue, and who goes over. Or you can leave that to our imaginations and pick anyone you like in Australia, England, America, past, present.
Me versus somebody?
You can go one of those. You can go one of your own, and then someone else for sure. Go for it.
If it's got to be me, then probably me and Liger anywhere, anytime, any place. probably Corican, I'd say. Just what a he changed an entire generation of wrestling all by himself and was one of my huge inspirations. In a second. Was one of my inspirations for getting into wrestling, so...
Yeah, spewing. I actually saw Liger when I was about 9 years old, but I was so young and knew nothing about Japanese or indie wrestling that I had no clue who he was. So later on, years later, I'm seeing all these photos. I'm like, oh my God, that's Jushin Liger. Oh my God, that's Dean Malenko. Oh my God, that's Chris Benoit. And I had no clue who these people were. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I was a couple of years older so I could have appreciated what I'd actually seen. Like,
absolutely. Yeah, no, I saw that tour as well. But fortunately for me, I already knew who Liger was at that point, so very lucky.
You're like Todd Eastman who's standing there like schooling all his mates on who these people are. You're like, you bastard. Oh, jeez. But hey, I got to enjoy Big Boss Man. I'm happy with that.
But if I'm to say any wrestler, anytime, any place, then I would say probably either Shinsuke and the Macho Man or Shinsuke and Eddie Guerrero, both in their primes. Oh,
dude, that is just teasing every single person listening to this right now. You have no idea. That's teasing me. Oh,
you never get to see it, unfortunately, but that's one of the beautiful things about fantasy booking.
Hey, as long as somebody makes Shinsuke versus Mr. Juicy happen, I think all will be right with the world. Somebody, somewhere, book that shit. Please. Please.
I think Gino would top himself the day after.
That didn't happen. That was all a rib. That was just a joke. It was a hologram. It was hologram Shinsuke. That's what it was. Oh, man. And I guess you mentioned earlier Mark Maron was one of your favourite podcasters, but any others that you you recommend for folks? Besides On the Fringe podcast, get it now on iTunes and all those good places.
I love Rogan's podcast, but he puts out so much that I'm sort of picking and choosing what I listen to these days.
They're long, aren't they?
Yeah, which is one of the things that first drew me to it and that I really loved about it. But there's just too much to listen to these days. I actually probably skip the ones with the comedians the most and listen to the ones with MMA fighters or commentators or whatever. So that'd be one. The Drunken Taoist podcast is another great one with Daniela Bolelli. And I tend to keep up with the regular wrestling ones, Wrestle Radio Australia, MLW Radio, and The Law, the three ones that I try to get to every week.
Yeah, one that I'll actually throw out there at the moment, just because I've been really enjoying it, and I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because they do run for about 2 to 4 hours, but they're freaking awesome. There's one per week, and it's called The Lapsed Fan, and these two fellas, they've actually been going through the last, the road to WrestleMania, and all 30 WrestleManias they've actually reviewed. They'll get Dave Meltzer on there for about 10, 20 minutes and sort of talk about all this background stuff relating to the show. If you're in mania mode at the moment and you want to enjoy the ride, check out The Lapsed Fan, folks. It's very, very cool show. I think it is on, let me see, WrestleZone.com and iTunes, so you can find that there. Very cool show. Dude, I want to thank you very much for having a chat with me, and you did jump the queue, so Baz, haha, we got you.
Suck it, Baz. I told you you need to get in line, man.
he got it. Baz jumped the queue, and then Dave's jumped back in front of him. I just love that. Just like, I'm taking my spot back.
My people are renowned for jumping the queue.
Alrighty, get your final plugs out the way, mate, where people can reach you, where people can see The Solution TV, EPW Perth, On the Fringe. Tell us all about it and tell us where to go.
Best place to find anything on EPW is our YouTube channel. So just look for EPW Perth. For myself, on Facebook, you can look for On the Fringe, or on Twitter, we're at On the Fringe Pod. Outside of that, geez, I'm not too sure where Shippy posts all the Solution stuff. I just linked to it all from Facebook.
Let me see here. We'll see if we can get the Solution.
Got a feeling it might be Warship TV.
That's it. We've got the facebook.com/theyaretheSolution.
That would be
for The Solution. And then if we have a look here at Solution TV, I'll just bring up the channel. Now, this is great podcasting, folks. Hey, how you going? thanks for checking it out. Thanks for hanging in there for, yeah, the Warship TV. So, yep, just look up the Warship TV on YouTube. Bang, you're sorted.
I'm not exactly a promotional machine over here.
That's all right. Hey, I should have had the stuff at the ready, so you can put it on me. You can put it on me. That's all right. But, yeah, nah, thanks heaps, Dave, for having a chat with us, and all the best with EPW this year with the podcast. I know when there's new episodes out, we're going to be sharing it around and getting it out there on the fringe. So, yeah, just all the best, man. Thanks heaps.
Awesome. Appreciate the support and appreciate the chat.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers Podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson, he's going to be, an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with the D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's been edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. There's no need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
Anyone that is not a basketball fan, that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, FNX.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers Podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.
Alrighty, that brings us to the end of this show, folks. I want to thank you again very much for listening. Massive thank you to Dave Farley, aka Davis Storm, and Todd Eastman, Tony Storm, and Josh Shooter. I reckon we'll be calling this one the Stormcast when it's time to upload. So be sure to subscribe if you really enjoyed this episode and you want to hear more and you want to learn more about Australian independent pro wrestling, know more about the great stars, the people behind the scene, and from commentators to photographers to the wrestlers to people who are also training talent like Davis Storm. Just really cool stuff. So subscribe, check out the older content. Also, if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, places like that where you can rate and review podcasts, please do leave us a review and a 5-star if you loved it, or a 1-star if you didn't, and tell us what you didn't like. But yeah, we're going to be keeping on rolling with this train, Wrestle Radio Australia, through 2015 and beyond, and just really enjoy highlighting the great talent that we have here down under for not only the Australian fans, but everybody around the world that is digging this show. I really do appreciate everybody in the world that is checking out the show. It's great stuff. So Facebook, we're all over that as well. Like us, join the group as well, the Wrestle Radio Australia podcast group. We're going to be letting you know in there and on the page as well when we're having guests on, so you can actually leave questions for them. Now, if you're hearing this before, I'd say Wednesday, what are we looking at there, about the 26th or 25th, or let's say about 26th of March. If you're hearing the show before then, get your questions in for Brad Smythe and Bas Abused. It's going to be a great couple of weeks here on Wrestle Radio Australia. We're going to be hearing all about the OCW Super Show. And Bas and Brad have pretty much said, hey, ask us anything. So we're going to be giving you the opportunity to do just that. If you're on Twitter, just hit us up at Wrestle Radio AU. You can follow me at Josh JD Armour on Twitter. You can find Todd at Beast Eastman. And be sure to also check out his other show, The Big Ballers Podcast, if you're a fan of NBA basketball. That's a fun ride for you. Australian Indie Wrestling on Facebook. That's where you want to go if you want to find the calendar for 2015, all of the events, all of the feds around Australia. You've got photo shoots, videos, podcasts, you name it, interviews as well. All of the WWE Australia updates as well. If you're a WWE fan and you want to, if you're going to be seeing the live tour later this year, all the updates that are found around the place will be put up there as well. That's facebook.com/Australian Indie Wrestling and on Twitter at AU Indie Wrestling. Give it a follow and spread the word, folks. FNX.network, got to thank those guys for all their support. Check them out at FNX Network on Twitter as well. And a massive thank you to Dane Davies for our main logo, the Flipmaster, and Thunderstag for our theme song. Check them out live if you get a chance here in 2015, especially in the Melbourne area. They are a rocking band.
But most of all, as always, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuckoos and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before. Shoot up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday. Take what's mine, mine.